This morning I ask that you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want in about 15 minutes to preach on the ministry of reconciliation, which is what our church does. Okay, the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I'm going to read just these four scriptures. We're going to pray and then get right into the message, and then you can fellowship afterwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, one of the most amazing scriptures in the New Testament, says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Not what he will be, but he already is. "All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ." Father, I pray that you just stir our hearts, challenge our heart, prick. Do whatever you have to do, God, to break us out of the apathy, the same old attitude that we have about our relationship with you and our relationship with others. And God, push us into the ministry of reconciliation. There is no greater ministry. Feeding the poor, clothing the cold and the naked, healing the sick, can't compare, as important as they are, cannot compare with reconciling sinners to an all-holy God, and reconciling families and even enemies. Lord, the ministry of reconciliation, I thank you for it. I pray that, God, we would all be involved in it. We would first receive it, and then we would do it. But I need your help this morning. We covered a lot of ground. I know people are dull of hearing, but, Lord, may we hear it, let it sink down deep into our ears, and live it now from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. These scriptures in chapter 5 are written to Christians, written to believers, those who have been born again in the Spirit of God. It says, if any man be in Christ. It does not say any man be in church. I'm glad you're in church, but being in church does not make you a Christian. It does not say if you are in baptism or in the faith. It says you must be in Christ. What makes a Christian a Christian? Christ does. Church can't make you a Christian any more than a garage can make you a car. These scriptures describe the purpose of the death of the perfect Son of God. When he died, he did not just die, but he took our place. Are you with me? He took the place of a world of imperfect sinners, even if they're religious, even if they try so hard to be good. Somebody had to do what they could not do, and that's what Jesus did. He took upon him the punishment for the sins of the whole world, all so that we could be reconciled to God. But it didn't stop there. When he took our place, he took our punishment so that we could be reconciled to God. That's good news, amen? See, the good news isn't about you. The good news is about what God has done for you. And when he reconciled us to himself, he didn't stop there. He then shows us that when he reconciled us to God, he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. He made me right with someone that I was so wrong with, so that now I can be right with anybody. And so that I can show anybody how to get right with God. So let me just deal with three things about reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Number one, I hope this is true in your life, but we have been reconciled. Look back there in verse 17, chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he will be a new creature. Is that what it says? No. He is. I like my Bible. He is a new creature in Christ. Look at verse 19. To wit, in specific terms, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto who? Back to Himself. Is the world okay with God? Yes or no? No. The world, the whole world lieth in wickedness, the Bible says. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. I want you to understand, where did my trespasses, where did my sins, where did my iniquities go? He imputed them, He transferred them, He made somebody else responsible for them. He made Jesus responsible for them. Jesus, who never knew sin, who could do no sin, He was punished for us. What an amazing thought. What an absolutely amazing thought. Reconcile. Now I need you two come up here. You're sitting on the front, so I use you. Your wife's not here, so I can't abuse you guys. Use you guys. Did I say abuse? No. All right, stand right here. Stand right here. Verse 21. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When it talks about reconciled, it means two enemies being made friends. All right, now let go of each other. Stop that. All right? Now, come over here. You're over here. Look at me. You're facing that way behind back. All right? Now, there. Now swipe the face. Swipe your smile off. You're both angry at each other. There you go. She's a natural. Okay. Two enemies. Yeah, yeah. Think about what all she all the things she does against you. I mean, just it's just evil. All right. Think about how mean he is. And just stop laughing. All right. Just how cruel he is. And he doesn't understand. And he doesn't listen. And he doesn't care. Okay, good. Now we're in the right mood. Amen. Reconciled means being made right with God. And sometimes we have to see how we don't get along with each other. How little we get along with God. You've got problems usually horizontally because you've got problems vertically. And in a home especially where you have two people who ought to be together, who ought to be the best of friends, the best of families, are often the worst of enemies. And yet the ministry of reconciliation is the ability to bring two enemies, no matter how vicious, come on, show those teeth, no matter how angry, no matter how so hurt you may be, to make them back in love. Do you know, God did not overlook my sins. You know, you need to just overlook all that your wife does against you. You can't do that. Overlook it? You don't know what I've been through. See, God didn't overlook our sins. He never changed His mind about my sins. God doesn't say that drink is now okay. He doesn't say that smoking is now fine. He doesn't say that lusting, well, you know everybody does it. God didn't change His mind about my sin, did He? Something had to change so that He could love a sinner. Reconciliation. You guys into the attitude yet? God didn't change His mind about sin. He had to find a way to forgive my sins. You know what He did? Now let's just pretend she's just evil. Okay? She'll forgive me later. Okay? And I don't care what else she's done. Reconciliation is where one person decides, I'm going to make things right. Might not turn around. Don't turn yet. Now, you've got to decide, I'm going to forgive this woman. I'm going to, like Christ, I'm going to forgive her at my expense. Can you do that? Will you do that? He's thinking. He's calculating. But what if she doesn't want to be reconciled? Can they be reconciled? Yeah, shake your head. Good, keep going. He wants to reconcile her. Does not our Heavenly Father want to reconcile with us? But until we decide, I too want to be reconciled. But He, now I could turn it around. It'd be much more vicious if she was the one who was hurt, because it usually is the woman. She turns and tries to get right, and He doesn't even care. But He, I'm using Him, where He says, I want to make things right. And I will pay for the hurt. The offended. reconciles with the offender. Now you can turn around and Google-eye him. All right. Now, nothing. Don't make us sick now. God paid off all the debts that I owe, did he not? He paid every last sinful debt I owed. No longer can the devil come along and point out to some sin and demand justice. That's what he's called, the accuser of the brethren. And boy, is he good at remembering my sins. But God has supernaturally made up for all those sins and iniquities, and he will no longer impute. She says, I hope you forgive me. And he goes, for what? I'm so sorry. You don't have to be. It's all forgiven now. Amen? Now, she should be sorry. Amen? He should be sorry when he's done wrong. Amen? But in this picture, I'm using it of God. God doesn't have anything to be sorry for, does he? So we do have a sorrow that says, God, I'm so wrong and I'm so sorry. You know what the Lord says? I don't remember what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Amen? He will not impute to us. He will not say, ooh, I'll never let that pass. No. He's not going to hold anything against us anymore. That's what forgiveness is. But at what cost? He pulled out his wallet. I wasn't sure why he did that. Because you can't pay forgiveness with money. You can't even do it. Oh, honey, I'll do this and I'll do that. All right. You cannot obtain forgiveness with your best efforts. The wrath of God, the justice of God, has to be poured out on sin and sinners. Must. And this world better wake up to the truth that sin will be judged. The filth and the wickedness and sin that is just portrayed at every second of every television program, of almost every song that's sung, of almost every thought that we think, it will catch up with us. God will judge. Do not forget a place called Sodom. And a place called Gomorrah. Do not forget the fact that there was a worldwide flood that killed absolutely every living, breathing thing except those that were on an ark. Better remember, the wrath of God does come home. So God chose to pour out all of his righteous wrath on us, didn't he? No. When Christ was on that cross, he writhed under the righteous judgment of God, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was being forsaken so that we would never be. God the offended paid for all of my offense so that we who are the offenders could be forgiven. And at that moment, look at what it says in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? Next time you're mad at somebody and you're angry at somebody and all you're doing is remembering all the old, all you're doing is remembering all that he did, all that she did, you remember that God does not do that with us. You need to look at that person you used to love. You need to look at that person you used to Google-eye at. You know what Google-eye means, don't you? Yeah, that's what you did and you know it and you loved it. That person you used to snuggle up against, you know, the person you used to hold their hands, you used to caress their hand. Come on, do it. Yeah. Don't make us sick. All right. You don't look at them that way. All the old things are passed away. What does it mean when we say, oh, so-and-so, she passed away? What does that mean? They died. Whatever you've done against God Almighty has died on that cross. Whatever somebody's done against you, you should have the ability to reconcile with them so that you look at them fresh and new like it never happened. Is that possible? If you're saved. It is a work of the Spirit of God, just like salvation is a work of the Spirit of God. You can and you must reconcile. You can forgive. Everything of my past died. My bad habits, my sinful thoughts, my selfishness, my lies, my lusts. All of that was the old me died. And at that moment, all my sins were replaced with brand new things, like the love for God. I found out I could love somebody who was God Almighty. And it came natural to love him. Love for the truth. I mean, I'm a Texan. Who reads King's English in Texas? I mean, we say y'all. And there I am, reading the King James Bible, because I love it. God gave me that. Love for God's people. I mean, you saw the people coming up here. Do you know why they do this? First, because they love the Lord. Because they all of our different people who work in ministries, we haven't looked at all of them. They do it because they love you. They love those kids. They love the creche. They love everything about this church. Thank God. We've been reconciled. I've been given a desire to work hard now. I have a reason why I work. I couldn't work to get saved, but now since I'm saved, I can work. I have real joy and happiness. Every dead thing has been replaced with something that's alive. Think about it. Think about it. John 3:16, for God so loved a sinful world that He gave His own, He gave, I couldn't give, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5, you're in Corinthians. Go back to the left. Romans chapter 5. I know, just stand up there. Go sit down, I'm tired of you. I was going to use it for one more thing, but they're bored. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Look at this verse here. Romans 5, for if when we were what? Enemies. We were reconciled to God by the church, by our good works, by our baptism, by our money, by our intelligence, by our good looks. Now I'm getting funny. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Is He alive? Yes or no? Then we're saved. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have received the atonement. Now, atonement is a wonderful word. It's actually three words squished together. At one ment. It means took two and made them one. We've received the reconciliation to God. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. God's made it possible for us to be forgiven. Do you make it possible for others to get forgiven? Or do you go back, I'm going to watch and see whether this is worth it or not. God doesn't do that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we had to do was humbly accept our state as guilty sinners. We didn't deserve such a gift as forgiveness, and all we had to do was ask for it. But when He saved us, He gave us a great purpose, a great ministry. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. I know people who spend all their time talking to angels. They talk to their dead grandmother. They spend their time, they're talking to statues and charms. And I don't know, a lot of people talk to their TV. I don't know what they're doing. You know, God went to all that effort so that we could talk to Him. So that we could spend time with Him. I'm still amazed that He wants to spend time with me. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. It would be wonderful if it stopped there, Brother Dan. But it doesn't. It says, I didn't just save you and then say, bye-bye, I'll see you in a few dozen years. He said, no. He's now given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what Jesus called them? Blessed are the peacemakers. Who can take two people, imagine they're still up here, and turn them. Be able to make peace between them. And just as miraculous as that may seem, when you lead a soul to Christ, you are reconciling two enemies and making an at-one-ment. You're making two into one. That is why we've had these people up here for ministries trying to say, like Andrew, I just saw when I was going, preach, Andrew. We need every one of us caring about people just like somebody cared about me. I wasn't caring about God. 17 years old, sitting there at a coffee shop, having a donut and a Coke, and some woman interrupted my life. Rudely interrupted. Told me I need to get born again. I said, I don't know what that is. And she explained it to me, invited me out to church. We've got to care. She reconciled me to God because of her. So guess what I get to do? Now that God reconciled Maureen Smith, She then had the ministry of reconciliation to get me reconciled to God. Now that I've been reconciled, I have the ministry of reconciliation. That's what Christianity is. This is not what Christianity is. This is a little charging up before we go out and we become Christians. And we live what we hear and what we know to be true and what we found in this Bible and what is burned in our hearts. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We get to have an impact. We can go home and we can do it with our family. We can do it with people we haven't talked to in years. Why? Because God did it for us. We get to help people to get reconciled. Well, everything we do as Christians, especially as Bible-believing churches, to get people saved from the wrath to come. People want the peace of God. You know what better than the peace of God? Peace with God. I'm at peace. You know, you'll die and go to hell in that kind of peace. You better make peace with God. And then you don't have to at all. You can shout and run around and you'll have more peace than all of the drugs and all of the drink and all of the prescriptions trying to calm your heart. The peace of God that passes all understanding comes because you have a peace with God first. A lot of people don't know that. They're on 7 or 8 different prescription drugs. They have no idea that Jesus Christ can replace them all. The man being Christ, those drugs can pass away. That hurt can be taken to the cross and left there, and you could be free. Those addictions, those memories, those hurts have to be paid for, and he paid for them. Who's going to tell him, though? I mean, you guys know it. How many of you know that you can be free? How many of you know that we have liberty in Christ? That we have been saved from the wrath to come? We've been translated out of darkness into marvelous light. But you're not all there is in this world, are there? There's countless numbers of tens of thousands who've never heard. Oh, we live in a Christian country. Grow up. This is not a Christian country. It's a religious country, and the religion is shrinking by the day. I used to enjoy being in Ireland because I knew it was moral. It's not moral anymore. People need the gospel. People need to know what that book says about their relationship with God. We've been given that ministry of reconciliation. That we can go anywhere. And we must go anywhere. Luke 24 says, and that remission of sins be preached in all nations. The remission, the removal of sins. People are more worried about getting rid of cancer than getting rid of sin. One's a little bit more serious. Here's a question for you. Have you been reconciled? Look back there in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 20. Now then, we are what? I am an ambassador. Hi, my name is Ambassador Ledbetter. I'd like to introduce you to my king. He invites you to come home for supper. And he'd like to adopt you into his family. Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But that's what you're offering. You're telling about a country they've never been to, they've never seen, and you're inviting them that they can become a citizen of that great heavenly country. You're an ambassador. How's your life? Do you live like an ambassador, or do you live like the people that you're living amongst? We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you. I have been, Leo, I have been in the presence of somebody shaking in my boots. I have been... like Mona, my mouth was dry, tongue was stuck to the roof of my mouth, every word was out of place. But I knew God would tell them, want me to say something as if he was there. You are in the place of Christ. What does he say? What does he say? In verse, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you. Is it to say we're begging you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. Paul says we ask what Jesus would be asking you if you were here right now. Isn't it neat? We watch 4 books of the gospel watching how Jesus dealt with people. Can you not mimic that? When somebody is hurting, can you not care? When somebody is at their wit's end, can you not give them some hope? When somebody who's never met Jesus Christ, can you introduce them to his word so they can know him personally? We've been given the ministry of reconciliation, but it begins with you. Have you been reconciled? Do not think that it is a work in progress. Well, I'm on my way. Reconciliation has to happen. It must happen and be done with. Jesus said you must be born again. Have you been born again? Have you? No. Well, I've been baptized. It doesn't say that. You must be born again. Have you received the gift of God? You know what the gift of God is? Eternal life. Say, well, I'm hoping to get it. I've got it. I got it 33 years ago. If I died right now, I would be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Not because I'm any better than anybody else, but because I received the gift of reconciliation, the gift of eternal life. I've been forgiven. Can you believe it can be this easy? I mean, I've had people say, it can't be that easy. I mean, I want to slap them and say, thank God it is. A child can accept it. Somebody in a hospital bed. A thief next to Jesus on the cross could receive it. Be reconciled today. Let's bow our heads now.